Welcome, everyone. My name is Jill, and we are so glad that you have decided to join us for our online weekend service. If you have a prayer request or you want to chat with one of our pastors, you can contact us through our app or email us at the email address on your screen. We also want to remind you our Christian Assembly LA app is available to download on Android and Apple phones and tablets. You can also access our daily Bible reading plan as well as our past weekend service videos on our app. You guys, we also want to say thank you so much for your giving and your ongoing generosity. We encourage you to give online through our Christian Assembly LA app or on our website simply by clicking on the Give tab. You can sign up to give online through either the app or website if you haven't already done so. And if you prefer to mail in your offering, you can do that. You can make your checks payable to Christian Assembly Church and send that to the address on your screen. If at any point during our service you make a decision to follow Jesus Christ, we would love to be able to follow up with you and celebrate with you. So you can send us an email at the address on your screen, or you can text the word decision to the number 52855, and Bo Flores, who is one of our pastors who will be speaking today, will personally follow up with you to be able to pray with you and encourage you with some next steps. Well, you guys, again, we just want to say thank you so much for joining us and being with us for our online weekend service. We encourage you to continue to worship with us for the rest of the service. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this online weekend service. God, thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness and your many blessings in our lives. God, we also pray, Lord, for anyone who comes and find themselves in a challenging season, a difficult space, maybe they're grieving or experiencing loss. And God, we just pray you would meet them and comfort them and give them your peace and your hope. God, would you speak to each of us and encourage us as we worship together? We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Thanks, you guys, and let's worship together.
All right, let's sing together. Let our praise be your welcome. Let our praise be your welcome. Let our songs be a sign, 'cause we are here for you. 'Cause we are here for you. Let your breath come from heaven. Fill our hearts with your light, 'cause we are here for you. 'Cause we are here for you.
Let's sing to you, our hearts are open.
To you, our hearts are open. Nothing here is hidden in you. Our one desire. With you alone. Let our shout be your anthem, your renown, fill the sky, 'cause we are here for you. 'Cause we are here for you.
This is our prayer on this day. Let your word move in power.
Let your word move in power. Let what's dead come to life. We are here for you. 'Cause we are here for you.
To you our hearts are open.
To you our hearts are open. Nothing here is hidden. You are our one desire. You alone are holy. Only you are worthy, God. Let your fire.
We welcome, oh, we welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, be welcomed in this place. We welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, be welcomed in.
Let every heart,
let every heart adore.
This is our prayer. I see your glory.
I see your glory covering the earth, Lord, just as the waters are covering the sea. I see the millions coming to salvation. I see revival, fire in the land. I see the lost and nameless ones remembered. I see the widows shouting out your praise. I see the friendless loved and celebrated. Orphans fulfilling, Lord, your calling on their lives.
Do it, Lord.
Do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. We are praying. Do it, Lord. Do it that your glory may be seen. Do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. Your glory.
I see forgiveness.
I see forgiveness overtaking hatred. Pride and prejudice now giving way to love. I see depression replaced with joy and gladness. And Satan's lies now bowing to the truth.
Do it, Lord.
Do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. Your glory may be seen.
Do it, Lord.
Do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. We are praying. Do it, Lord. Do it that your glory may be seen.
This is our prayer.
This is our prayer, oh God. This is our desperate cry in these days that we're your kingdom come, let your will be.
I see the brokenness.
I see the brokenness of families brought to wholeness. I see the prodigals running home to you. Father's hearts now turning toward their children. Then the children's hearts turning toward their fathers. I see your church rising up in
to worship our great God. We've come to give him glory, to give him honor, to give him wisdom and strength, as the book of Revelation says, but we have also come to give him the heavy burdens that we carry in our heart. We're able to come honestly to our God and all of our brokenness, and he receives us. And for those of you who are watching, who are part of this worship service, and you need to hear an invitation to rest for the weariness of your souls, I want you to hear this promise from Matthew chapter 11. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." Lord, help us by the grace and the power of your Spirit to come and lay all of our heavy burdens down to the altar, to find forgiveness and freedom in the name of Jesus. Would you sing, Justinia?
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling.
Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus.
We get to leave behind all our regrets and mistakes.
Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling.
He's calling, bring your sorrows.
Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling.
He's calling. Oh, come, oh, come.
Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of
precious blood, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That's why we worship. That's why we sing. Let's tell him the greatness of his name in all the earth.
In all the earth we'll shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you.
In all the earth,
and all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you,
Lord. All the earth's gonna shout your praise,
and all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry.
last time we sing, oh, come to the altar.
Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus.
Oh, come,
oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus.
Well, hey, church family, my name is Scott. I'm one of the pastors on staff, and it's Kingdom Weekend where we highlight all that God is doing through our church, both locally and globally, as we follow him on mission. In a moment, we get to hear from Al and Stacey Anderson, our Kingdom partners in the Czech Republic. Let's take a look at this exciting video together.
Hey, CA, we're Al and Stacey Anderson. We work for Young Life in Central and Eastern Europe, and we are planning to be with you this weekend in Eagle Rock. But then again, so are you. COVID-19 changes everything. Our role is helping to grow and develop leaders in Central and Eastern Europe. We work in Czech Republic, Poland, Bulgaria, Romania, North Macedonia, and Albania. And we help develop leaders so that they can go and reach out and introduce young people to Jesus Christ in the culture and the language that they live in. One of the things that we've been super excited about this year is that we've seen a big increase in the number of kids who have really decided they want to grow and go to weekly Bible study. Last year, we had about 100 kids coming every week to Bible study. This year, we have over 150 kids coming every week. So we're super excited about that.
Like Al said, one of our big roles is developing these national staff people. This year, I've taken an expanded role, and I'm really excited to be able to be leading the training for our national staff throughout these countries that we work in. Right now, we have 12 national staff who are in their first year or second year of training with us. And really, that looks a lot of spiritual development for them, team development, ministry skills, leadership skills. And we're excited for the potential and the growth we're seeing in them as they take these things back into their areas and develop leaders and volunteers to reach out to kids with Jesus's love in their towns. Please be praying with us for these leaders. Please be praying with us right now for camps as we are looking at summer. We will have some camps happening in some countries. Some countries have had to cancel camps because of COVID-19. And in some countries like Romania, Macedonia, and Albania, we're waiting for word still from the government. So please pray with us for wisdom and discernment as we make decisions about what we'll be able to do. Thank you, CA. We love you. We are so thankful for all of you.
Well, hey, church family. We're so thankful to partner with Al and Stacey Anderson and the Ministry of Young Life. Al and Stacey Anderson have been a longtime members of Christian Assembly and have been ministering in the Czech Republic for the long haul, which is one of the most atheistic countries in the world. And so it's been so encouraging to see not only how the ministry has grown in the Czech Republic, but also how new ministries have been started all across Eastern and Central Europe. So please pray for Al and Stacey as they continue to raise up national leaders. Pray for the ministry happening at Young Life camps this summer, as well as all that God is doing in and through them. And because of our generosity, we have an opportunity to give to the Kingdom Offering, which is having tremendous impact both locally and globally. We've been able to partner with Alan Stacey, as well as so many of our other partners, as well as giving to forgive medical debt for the poor in our city. We've been able to give towards those in need who are hungry, feeding ministries through our international partnerships, as well as to front lines missionaries who are having impact during the COVID-19 crisis. And so thank you so much, CA family, for your generosity, and may God bless us as we continue to follow him on mission together.
Well, it's so great to be with you today. My name is Bo Flores. I am the lead pastor of our Fusion community, and I just want to say welcome to my Christian Assembly family. So great to be with you. Thank you for gathering with us once again. And to any visitors or guests, maybe you don't normally watch a Christian Assembly service online, but somehow you found this video, welcome. We are so glad that you are here. I also want to give a shout out to anybody gathering in one of our CA with Life groups at home communities. All around the city of LA, there are groups of people gathering at homes to watch service together, and we're so glad that you're doing that. I'm a part of one in Pasadena, and it's just so great to get to gather with the church again in small, socially distanced gatherings to worship together and hear teaching. So shout out to all of you gathering in those spaces. I also, before we get to the teaching, wanted to just briefly mention a transition taking place on our Fusion and Christian Assembly staff that it would be good for you all to know about. Pisa Soak, one of our community life pastors with Fusion, who's been on staff with us for about 3.5 years, will be ending his time on our church staff at the end of July. And there's no scandal, there's no secret reason why he's leaving. Pisa and his wife, Rebecca, prayed and decided to take a job opportunity for Rebecca in the state of Tennessee. So their family will be moving to Tennessee at the end of July, and we bless them and pray for them as Pisa ends his time on our church staff. And we will give you lots more information as we begin the process for finding somebody to replace Pisa to jump on our team. We're working hard on it now, and we'll give you all the information about that when it's time. But for now, would you pray for and bless Pisa and Rebecca and their son Ruben as they transition to this new season of life? Well, in our current series, Hope Found Here, we are looking at God as a promise-making God. But more than that, more than a promise-making God, what we are discovering is that God is a promise-keeping God. As it has been noted multiple times in this series, making promises is easy. Anybody can do that. Keeping promises is an entirely different matter. I remember being in the fourth grade, and at recess, one of the games that we started to play on the playground was shooting half-court shots on the basketball court. And we got into kind of a game where before one of us would shoot a half-court shot, somebody else would make a ridiculous promise if the person shooting the shot made it. I remember one time in particular, I was about to shoot my half-court shot, and one of my friends said to me, "Hey, if you make this, I will buy you a Jaguar," talking about the car, not the cat. And I said, "You promise?" And he said, "I promise." Well, if you know anything about me, you know I absolutely iced that shot. Just nothing but net, swoosh. And if you're watching this, Jeremy, I am still waiting on you to make good on that promise. See, unlike many of us who have the ability and temptation to flippantly make promises we either do not intend to keep or are unable to keep, God is not like that. The God we find in Scripture is both willing and able to keep every promise that he makes. And in many cases, we learn more about his identity, who our God is, because of the promises that he makes and keeps. Today, we're going to look at a promise of God that is so deeply connected to who he is that it's one of the names we find in the Bible for God. One of the names we find is connected to this promise. We are going to discuss today what it means that one of the names of God we find in Scripture is the Lord will provide. Let's pray together as we begin. So God, we thank you for your word today. We pray that as we spend some time looking at your scripture, Holy Spirit, would you speak to us? God, I pray for people watching this weekend service who have needs in their lives, who are wrestling with a giant need, maybe material, maybe emotional, maybe relational, whatever it might be. God, through our time looking at your word, would you remind them, would you remind us that you are a God who provides. Teach us about that, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In the book of Genesis, we find a story about a man named Abraham who was promised by God that he would become the father of a nation and that through him, the entire world would be blessed. From our view today, looking back, we know that God's promise to Abraham would ultimately lead to the person of Jesus, to his death on the cross, to the resurrection from the grave, and the blessing that all of humanity now has available to them because of Jesus. Abraham didn't know any of that, however. He just knew that though he had no children, God was going to give him a son and create through him a nation as numerous as the stars. Eventually, God gives Abraham and his wife Sarah a son, and his name is Isaac. And in Genesis 22, we find a truly challenging story of God testing Abraham to see if Abraham would be obedient to God's voice to the level of sacrificing his son because God commanded it. If you read all of Genesis 22, you'll find that Abraham was in fact so filled with faith that he obeyed the command of God. Hebrews will tell us that Abraham did it because he believed God would raise his son from the dead. But Genesis doesn't say any of that. Genesis just says that Abraham trusted God. So Abraham took young Isaac up on a mountain. And on the way up the mountain, Isaac commented that they had all the materials they needed except for the sacrifice. And Isaac was like, where's the sacrifice here, Dad? And Abraham told his son, God will provide the lamb for the offering. So Abraham builds the altar. He binds his son and lays him on the altar and is on the verge of sacrificing him when the angel of the Lord stops him. And we pick up the story in verse 11. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not lay a hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God since you have not withheld your only son from me. Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it as a burnt offering in place of his son. And Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. So it is said today, it will be provided on the Lord's mountain. Let me just say that this is a challenging story in the Bible, but as we read it from our perspective, what we find is that Jesus is all over this story. We know that just as God provided the ram for a sacrifice here, God would eventually provide a sacrifice for our sins in the person of Jesus, the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. But in this story, we catch a glimpse of who God is and one of his key attributes, which is this statement, the Lord will provide. You see, one of the ways that God helps us to grow in our knowledge of him is by the names of himself that he reveals to us. What does it mean for God to reveal one of his names as the Lord will provide? There are so many aspects to this name, the Lord will provide, and the promises that it makes to us. But I want to begin here with this clear statement that to provide means to see. To provide means to see. The word translated provide, it also literally means to see. Another translation of the name the Lord will provide is the Lord has seen. If you think about the word provision, the root word pro, meaning forward or ahead of time, before, right? If you think about the word protect, to protect something is to guard it before something happens to it. To be proactive is to act in advance of something or before something happens. Provision is literally provision. It means to have vision ahead of time about something. When God promises that he will provide for you, it is rooted in the idea that God already knows what you need. He sees it. He is aware of our needs. He is not caught off guard by the many different kinds of needs that we experience in our life. He has the provision. He sees it before you know you need it. Jesus would speak about this in the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew 6, Jesus says this. He says, "Therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life or what you will eat or what you will drink or about your body or what you will wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Consider the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they? Can any of you add one moment to his lifespan by worrying? And why do you worry about clothes? Observe how the wildflowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin thread. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was adorned like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown into the furnace tomorrow, won't he do much more for you? You of little faith. So don't worry, saying, what will we eat or what will we drink or what will we wear? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them." Part of God's promise to provide for you is the knowledge that he already knows what you need. And I wonder, is there an area of your life that you are feeling anxious because you have a need? Maybe it's a relational need or a financial need, a job need. I don't know what it could be. But do you have a need that you are convinced God isn't aware of? Would you know today that he sees it? He knows about it, and he is able to do something about it. It is in his very nature to provide for you. But what does it mean that God provides? What does it mean that God sees our need and is willing and able to act on our behalf? Three things I believe God promises to provide that I want to note today. Number one is daily bread. Daily bread. Earlier in chapter 6 of the Sermon on the Mount, when instructing his followers how to pray, Jesus is talking about people who pray loudly and boldly for everybody else to hear as a sign of arrogance. And Jesus says in Matthew 6, verse 8, "Don't be like them, because your Father knows the things you need before you ask him." There's the provision again, right? "Therefore, you should pray like this. Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread." Jesus tells his followers that their heavenly Father knows what they need, and all they need to do is ask and trust that God will provide daily bread. Notice he doesn't say, "Give us today our extreme wealth. Give us today our brand new Tesla. Give us today a wardrobe that will make everybody on social media jealous of us." No, he says, "Give us today our daily bread." What we need today. The food and the clothing and the shelter over our head that we need today. Many of us can live stretches of our lives where we forget or ignore the concept of daily bread. Our culture and our media certainly do not communicate daily bread. It's easy for us to get caught up in the excess of our culture, and we fail to have a mindset like David in Psalm 23:1, where he says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have what I need. I have everything that I need." Many of us go through seasons of our lives where we don't think this way. And then we lose our job. And then the stock market takes a nosedive. And suddenly we are reminded of our need for daily bread. But it often takes a tragedy or a global pandemic or a global recession to remind us that we can at times abandon thinking in terms of daily bread in favor of extreme wealth and keeping up with the Joneses. The idea of having provided for you what you need and that being enough is completely warped because we have bought into the lie that we always need more, more, more. And for the most part, we don't even realize it because we have been so trained by our society to reject the idea of enough and daily bread in favor of extreme consumerism. Recently, I was listening to a podcast that taught me something very interesting I had never known before. Freud taught about our unconscious drives, or our animal brain, some might call it, or what the Bible calls our flesh. It's the thing that drives us to have and to consume and to destroy. And Freud said that we are far more vulnerable to outside manipulation and self-deception than any of us want to believe. But what's interesting is the first large-scale use of Freud's philosophies and teachings were actually the Nazis, who used Freud's ideas to create the Nazi propaganda machine. And they honed in on two of the most basic human survival emotions, which can so often be exploited, the emotions of I fear and I want. And so for the Nazis, it was, I fear the Jews and their influence on our society, and I want a society free from all of that, and the rest is a dark stain on our world's history. After World War II, Freud's nephew, a man named Edward Bernays, who was an intelligence officer for the Americans during World War II, came home and began a career on Madison Avenue in advertising. The basis for all of his work is what he witnessed in Europe during the war, and he wondered if he could take the same theory from the Nazi propaganda machine and if that could be applied to American society and advertising for the purpose of making money, playing onto our nation's base desires, our unconscious drives, and especially tapping into our survival emotions of I fear and I want. He created modern-day advertising in that moment. No longer was it when your product runs out by ours because it's a better product. Now it becomes, you are lacking if you don't buy this product. You'll be left behind if you don't buy this product. You will never truly be happy if you don't buy this product. Just look at how happy these beautiful, in shape people are. And it's all because they drive this, wear this, drink this, own this, use this product. What's funny is, as I was listening to this podcast, I was shopping at Costco. Here I am learning about the propaganda machine behind the consumeristic culture that has trained me to always want more and never be satisfied with the daily bread that God promises he will provide while pushing an overloaded shopping cart through Costco. And the truth is, I don't actually need 98 rolls of toilet paper or 38 frozen chicken breasts or 12 pounds of pancake mix, but I fear that all of this might go away because of COVID-19, so I will overpurchase. And my cart at Costco became a living parable about my resistance to trust that God will provide for me my daily bread. He will provide what you need. Maybe it won't be the wealth we worship in our American culture, but it will be what you need. Second, God promises to provide us with purpose and mission. We all want our lives to have purpose. A secular view of our world and our existence in it will tell us that our lives ultimately amount to experiences and pleasure that we have. So do what you enjoy and want to do and do nothing else. And yet, if the last few weeks have taught us anything, it's that people desire to be a part of something meaningful and purposeful. We want our voices and lives to be added to those making a difference. Seeing hundreds of thousands of people saying it's time to address racism, to seek lasting change, to pursue justice in this world. I believe it has spoken volumes against the secular philosophy that nothing really matters, so do what makes you happy. There is something in all of us that drives us toward mission. The good news of the gospel of Jesus is that Jesus promises and provides us each with a purpose and a mission. In Matthew 6, after telling us not to worry about what we're going to eat or drink or wear because God already knows what we need, he goes on to say this in 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. See, as we learn to seek God's kingdom and his reign and his rule, not only will our physical and material needs be met, but we will suddenly find ourselves discovering and stepping into our purpose and our mission in life. And your purpose and your mission in life is connected to the kingdom of God. You have a kingdom of God purpose on your life. I lead our 18 to 35-year-old community here at Christian Assembly called Fusion. And our mission statement is find your people, find your purpose. And we work really hard. We work really hard to help young adults find friends, find people to do the Christ-centered life with. And we work really hard to help young adults discover their purpose and the mission that God has for their lives. And when asked how we help people find their purpose, I always point back to saying yes to whatever Jesus is inviting you into today. See, I believe our purpose is uncovered in our lives as we learn to say our next yes to Jesus and his kingdom here on earth. I think about my friend Meenakshi Sawhney. Meenakshi was a high school student when I first moved to Christian Assembly a little over 9 years ago and became the student ministry pastor. And in the summer of 2018, several years after graduating from high school, Meenakshi said a pivotal yes to Jesus when she went on a missions trip with Fusion to help run a Young Life camp in Eastern Europe for high school students from the Czech Republic. The Czech is the most atheistic country in Europe, and years ago, Alan Stacey Anderson were sent out from Fusion to launch Young Life in the Czech, bringing the gospel to the youth of a nation that desperately need to hear it. Meenakshi felt Jesus inviting her to say yes to attending that trip. And on that trip, Meenakshi felt Jesus inviting her to take steps toward a potential call to ministry in her life. So upon coming back, Meenakshi said yes to a 10-hour-a-week unpaid internship with Fusion. At the end of her internship, because of the hard work, the results, and the ongoing potential that we were witnessing in her, we offered Meenakshi a position as a part-time pastoral apprentice. And once again, she said her next yes to what Jesus was inviting her into. Meenakshi, as of today, is working with our student ministries and Fusion and is daily discovering more and more of what God's purpose and mission is for her life. She didn't know when she signed up for a missions trip that her life would be changed and a calling and purpose would be discovered. She just said yes to what Jesus invited her into, and Jesus has provided the rest for her. Your yeses will be to different invitations from Jesus than Meenakshi. But even the seemingly small yeses, every time you attend church, whether you watch online or go to one of our home groups, you are saying a yes to Jesus. Every time you serve in our church, you are saying a yes to Jesus. Every time you trust God with your finances and choose to tithe and be faithful in that area, you are saying yes to Jesus. And the more yeses that you say will lead you into more and more of God's purpose in your life. And here's what we have to know. It's saying the seemingly small yeses that help us build the muscles to say the big yes when that moment comes. You were not intended to live a safe, boring life. And I believe Jesus wants to provide you purpose and calling, and he wants to provide you an opportunity to be used in his kingdom and for his glory. And the key to discovering the purpose he is providing you is saying your next yes to Jesus. Third, finally, and best of all, God promises to provide us, number three, a reconciled relationship with himself. A reconciled relationship with himself. The truth is, God will provide for whatever your need is. When we need comfort, he promises to provide us comfort in so many ways by his presence with us, by a community around us. When we cry out for justice, he promises to bring justice both now and ultimately one day when his justice will reign over the whole earth. He will provide that justice. When we need community, he is faithful to provide us with sisters and brothers in Christ to do the Christ-centered life with. But of all of the needs that we have and experience, the greatest need we will ever experience is our need to be reconciled to God. It is a work that we could never do on our own. And because of that, God provided for us the one way that we might be made right with God. Look at Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. Paul writes, "For while we were still helpless at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For rarely will someone die for a just person, though for a good person, perhaps someone might even dare to die. But God proves his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How much more then, since we have now been justified by his blood, will we be saved through him from wrath? For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Then how much more, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life? And not only that, but we will also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received this reconciliation." You see, because of our sin, we had become an enemy of God, Paul tells us. We were hostile to God, to the God that created us, to the God that loves us. But God proved his own love for us, and that while we were his enemies, hostile, separated, and angry from God, Jesus came to die on the cross so that we might be justified by his death. And then he rose again that we might be reconciled to God through this new life. It is the ram that God provided for Abraham that is now provided for all of us. This is the sacrifice in our place. My friends, of all the needs that we will ever have, being reconciled to God is the greatest. And the story of the Bible is that God provided a way to do a thing that we could never do. That when we believe in our hearts that Jesus died for our sins and confess with our mouths that God raised him from the dead, we are saved. And not just saved from hell, but given the gift and the ability of learning what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, to learn from him, to model our lives after his, to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to share the good news of God's providing work in our lives with everyone we encounter. God provided all of that. The question I leave us with today is, are we ready to receive it? And I want to invite you now to even close your eyes wherever you are, wherever you're watching this from. Close your eyes and reflect. Is there a place that you need to trust in God's providing work? What is the need that you have today? Maybe you are tired. The last few weeks and months have left you exhausted and weary. Would you remember his promise that he will provide rest for your souls? Maybe your need is occupational. You need a job. Would you remember that God provides for us so that we might live the lives we were intended to live? Maybe your need is daily bread and not some false promise of riches that the Bible never actually makes, but instead that he will give you everything that you need to live the life you were called to live. Would you trust him to provide daily bread for you and your family today? Maybe it's purpose and mission. You need to be reminded that God has good plans for you, to use you for his kingdom in this world, and you can step into that mission. You can experience his providing work in that mission as you learn to say yes to his invitation in your life today. And maybe you need a reconciled relationship with him. That you need to be reminded that the God who loves you, he wants you to come home into his presence. And if that's you, you can receive the free gift that he provided for you right now by simply praying this prayer after me, saying, "Jesus, I know I need to be reconciled to God. Thank you for dying in my place and rising again on the third day. I receive the free gift of life that you provided for me. Help me to follow you all the days of my life. And if you prayed that prayer, if you made that decision, would you let somebody know, a friend, a pastor? Put it in the chat if you're watching this on Facebook or on YouTube. Email a pastor. You can email the website that's going to be put on the screen to let you know so that we can follow up with you. But let somebody know about the decision that you made. I want to end our time together with Paul's words to the church in Philippi. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul writes this, "And my God will supply all your needs. He will provide for all of your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen."
Well, you guys, thank you again for joining us for our online weekend service. If you made a decision to follow Jesus Christ at any point during this service, would you email or text us so that we can follow up and be able to celebrate with you? I also want to remind you of a couple different ways to stay connected with us this week. We have our CA Daily Touchpoints available, and then we also have digital discipleship on Wednesday night, and all of that can be found on our social media platforms. You can find and follow us on social using Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Let me close with this benediction. May you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Thanks, you guys, and we'll see you next week.